Gosh, we're late today. Okay, I want to go ahead and call the meeting to order on Monday, March 23rd, 2026, for Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. Okay, just to start, let me just start with a couple discussion points. First, I want to congratulate both Commissioner Clunan and Commissioner Jones, both whom were recently reappointed to another term with the Port Commission. Thank you, everybody. You have shown a strong commitment to the Port and the region we serve. Commissioner Clunan has served since 2019 as chair of the Community Relations Committee and the Governance Committee. And Commissioner Jones has served since 2024 and is chair of the Strategic Sourcing Committee. Both also serve on several of the committees. We appreciate that. And I just want to say personally, I really appreciate your, because I know that there's a lot of committee meetings. There's a lot of discussion that has to happen here. And I know that the pay is very, very high. And so I know that you do this, you know, like all of us, I think, on the commission do, which is really to support the community and to make sure we create the opportunity for the port to thrive, which we know creates a massive amount of jobs and economic benefit for the community. So congratulations on your reappointments. Very fortunate to have you as port commissioners. Moving on, Fleet Week. Houston is next month. The U.S. Navy is bringing to Houston for the very first time in partnership with Houston and others. Fleet Week Houston celebrates the men and women of the U.S. Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guards who bravely serve our nation at sea domestically and showcases Houston's strong maritime heritage and our role as a key hub for global trade and energy. The event will start on April 15th with a parade of ships coming up the Houston Ship Channel, and there will be a wide variety of public events scheduled through April 22nd. Port Houston is proud to serve as a host location, welcoming several U.S. Navy and Coast Guard vessels and their crews to dock at our facilities during the week. Members of the public will be able to tour some of the Fleet Week vessels docked at our terminals, which is a rare and exciting opportunity. It'll be a busy week for our city and our port, and I'm looking forward to this maritime celebration. We are opening in a heightened state of awareness, or operating in a heightened state of awareness in geopolitical conditions, and we are watching the evolving threat environment, both physical and cyber related. The safety and security of our people and our facilities remain of utmost importance. We are working in close coordination with our federal, state, and local law enforcement and security partners, including the U.S. Coast Guard, regional fusion centers, and emergency management organizations. Through these partnerships, we are continuously sharing intelligence, aligning our resource protocols, and ensuring a unified approach to our maritime and port security posture. Our focus continues to be maintaining safe and efficient and reliable operations in support of the economy. Lastly, we have some visitors here today to help us celebrate Project 11 and to present the team with an award. Charlie will tell us more about that here in a few minutes, but I do want to add my congratulations to the port, to the Project 11 team, port, the Corps, Army Corps of Engineers, and all the contractors. The work you all did and continue to do to sustain the and enhance the efficiency and safety of our channel is critical to the future success of the port. I'm thrilled that your work is being honored with this award. You all continue to make us proud. Thank you so much, and we'll have some more discussion about that in a second. I think that Roland Garcia is not here today. He's in Paris on
a trade mission.
Okay, there we go. I can't read your writing. He said he's going to be online if he can, but we'll see. No problem. Okay, great. So let's, commissioners, any comments?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, absolutely.
Thank you.
All good. Okay, great. Let's then move to approve the minutes from the February 19, 2026 meeting.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, staff reports. Go ahead, Charlie. Sure.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, first, I want to highlight volumes at the public terminals. We enjoyed more growth in total Port Authority cargo tonnage is up 4% as compared to February of 2025. This brought our 2026 annual tonnage to just shy of 9 million for the first 2 months of the year, and that's up 5%. That's very gratifying. We had lots of weather challenges with fog this last month, and to see us still being able to grow with a lot of downtime in the system is buying and hopefully a good sign of things to come. I know in the financial report, Chris will get a little bit more into that. Just as a port and side note, you know, we are a port, one port, and it's got public and private facilities, by far the largest in the nation. The public port, if it was a port by itself, would be somewhere between 10, 11, and 12 in the United States, very close in the volume. So it's not a small entity that's out there that this organization is helping to lead to those maritime commerce and jobs. But I think that was an important. As the chairman mentioned, we do have a number of special guests here with us today, the teams who worked on Project 11 as well as others. I want to say a few words about the significance of Project 11. This project, the process, the speed, the partnership was truly unprecedented. To accelerate the project, a partnership of port and industry made a commitment to pay upfront to get things moving, really flipped the normal federal cost share allocation with us paying the great majority of the cost of us being that collaborative group of all of us. Port Houston took the lead on designing, bidding, and managing construction for segments 1 and 2 in partnership with the Corps, resulting in savings, efficiency, and a very rapid delivery. We changed state procurement laws in order to cut through bureaucracy and move. And we completed the port-led segments of Project 11 in record time with our contractors, demonstrating efficiency and feasibility from feasibility to authorization to appropriation. The completion of the bay, which is about 76% of the length of the and the highest priority areas, those are all now complete. And, of course, I ad-libbed and got off my script, so bear with me. now, as the first bay portions of Project 11 began to come, the Houston pilots began to relax the safety rules enabled by the new channel to allow more efficient movement in the bay while still maintaining a high level of safety with vessel traffic. And it began to create significant economic benefits as projected in the studies of Project 11. But in November of last year, after we completed the bay, after they had a lot more experience, they found that the simulations actually underestimated some of the things they could do. And they've actually further expanded and improved on the navigation, providing much, much more benefit that was originally projected through the program. Now, they're doing this still with an eye on safety, but since November, basically the port is not daylight. That means a vessel finishing up at the turning basin that might have finished at 6 o'clock at night that was daylight restricted, such as Egyptian cement, that vessel can now leave at night. And that facility is available for the next vessel. So they 10, 12 hours of potential savings. Very, very important with our other terminals, the public and the private. Much more utilization out of the facility because you no longer have vessels sitting there tying it up, blocking the production out of the facility. So it has been absolutely fantastic. We're very, very proud and thankful for the pilots and our partners. That impact, as I said, is much larger than was originally conceived. It just makes a good project that much better. All right, so it's been a truly transformational project that's revolutionizing how vessels will move in the Houston Ship Channel. We truly appreciate our partnership with our partner, all of the partners and the Houston pilots for their expertise and operational excellence. The remaining segments of Project 11 are not inconsequential. It is still a big part of the project. Those are being led by the Corps, Segment 4, 5, and 6. And also Barber's Cut. I don't remember what the darn segment. And we have incredible partners through this. Colonel Dake and his team for the excellence they're exhibiting in that effort. Now, today, we're honored to have the American Society of Civil Engineers at the 2025 Texas Outstanding Civil Engineering Achievement Plaque to the Project 11 team. I want to recognize the project team individuals who are here today. I'm going to ask you to briefly stand as we go through it. So first, I'm going to do the Port of Houston team. Lori Brunel, Leah Wilson, Amanda Hamrick, Jose Tapia, Seth Danzo, Mick Prowse, Becca Andrews, Gary McMahon, Molly Powell, and Chris Gossett. Now, if I went to the people who work part-time on it, the room's not big enough. These are the people. Now, next, I want to recognize our joint venture of Gehagan Bryant. Sorry, team. I had that in my heart and my mind. I just didn't say it. So next, we're going to recognize the Corps of Engineers, Colonel Dake, Byron Williams, Liz Fiacci, Elizabeth McCarty, and previous Corps project managers, including Harmon Brown and Carlos Tate. Thank you very much for what you've done. Next is the joint venture of Brady Bryant, Chester Hederman, Sarah Bugelstead, and Dana Cheney, and AECOM, Rod McCrary, Sam Janner, and Lexi Maddox. Thank you. Our QA QC partners are Fries and Nichols, Carl Sepplevita, and Atkins Realis, Doug Gaffney. The external legal teams, Andrews Meyer, Seth Russell's here, also BBK, Larry Crook, but Larry had a family emergency this morning, so he wasn't able to join us. But Seth, thank you for what you did. Pilots, the beneficial use group, the federal U.S. Coast Guard, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the National Marine Fisheries, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, from the state, significant work with Texas Parks and Wildlife, the Texas Commission on Environmental, the Texas Department of Transportation, the Texas General Land Office. So to all of them. Add from everything from accounting administration for procurement and just monitoring the various activities from Cone Resnick, Ecologic Group, and PricewaterhouseCoopers. Now, that's just the voyage or the village that did the planning and the preparation and the oversight. It couldn't have been done without our contractors that we're going to talk about very briefly here. First is the first contract, Great Lakes Docks and Dredge, represented by Kenny Perrin. They did the hydraulic dredging segments of 1A Bolivar Roads to Redfish and the construction up on the screen. Thank you, Great Lakes. Next was Curtin Marine, represented by Martin Curtin and Steve Chu. They did the mechanical dredging of segment 1B, Redfish to Bayport, and construction of the San Leon and Dollar Reef oyster mitigation with the use of first dredge type in its kind, a very fast mechanical dredge. Thank you to Curtin. Chuck Broussard is the lead. They did the hydraulic dredging of segments 1B and 2, Redfish to Bayport, construction of Three Bird Island. Chuck, thank you. Three more, guys. Next is Callan Marine, represented by Micah Morris, Chris Deering, and Jordan Guy. They did the hydraulic dredging of segment 1C, Bayport Ship Channel to Barber's Cut Channel, and construction of the M11 Marsh. Thank you, Callan. Orion Marine, our neighbors right there in the building, right outside the window, represented by Jacob Adler. They did the removal of segment 1B and 1C abandoned pipelines prior to the dredging commencement. Thank you. and the last contractor being recognized, they're not able to be present today. They did the relocation of all the aids to navigation, helping the vessels, all the traffic signs and things to make the ships move effectively. They did a great job doing that in partnership with us in the Corps. Worked very, very well. So thank you to Russell Marine. The long introduction, but it's such an important thing that we're recognizing here today. That's the team that did it. Project 11 represents this incredible partnership of federal, local, all of the various size groups of the industry. We're very proud and grateful for the team and everyone who worked so tirelessly to deliver this incredible project. With that, I'm going to request that Colonel Date come up and say a few words on behalf of and then welcome the American Society of Civil Engineers for the award presentation.
Thanks, Charlie. Hey, so I was going to list out all the partners and the projects. So, Charlie, thank you for doing this. So as you can see, this is a huge partnership project that had a lot of key players. I'm probably the most recent addition to this team. And so I'm very honored to be able to represent my team that kind of played a role in this. And so I also want to thank the American Society of Civil Engineers for recognizing the significance that this project plays. And so that portion of Project 11 is a piece of it, and very, very happy that we're continuing to work so it's an honor to join you all. This recognition belongs to that whole team that Charlie just listed out. All of these projects, nobody does it alone. No organization does it alone. Everybody working together, on this project, was an outstanding achievement. So Houston Ship Channel, it's one of the, most critical, channels in the country. It's the backbone, of this region. And we're honored that, as part of our mission, to maintain the nation's waterways, that the Houston Ship Channel is, at the top of our list. From commodities to products to national security, as the commerce grows, the infrastructure must grow with it. And Project 11 represents that forward-looking investment. And so with the completion of segments 1 and 2, we've taken a major step toward, and the impact is already seen, as Charlie mentioned, and I think we'll continue to see it, for years to come. And so projects like this, they do more than move ships. They sustain American jobs. They increase the economy. They increase national security, and they support domestic manufacturing. So what makes this achievement particularly meaningful is all the partners that work behind it. And so the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, representing them, I had the honor of representing my team that helped work on this, and also all the industry partners, Port Houston, and Project 11 is a powerful example of what can happen when federal, state, and local partners align behind a shared vision and commit to seeing it through. So thank you very much.
Okay, one thing that I know Charlie went through a lot of thank yous to a lot of team members and the benefit of the channel. I want to step back just a little because when I first came, and I know when Wendy first came to the folks who were here in 2019, Clyde, of course, Fitzgerald was here at the time. Our other commissioners have since retired. But it was a tough time. It was a complicated time. It was a time where the community wasn't aligned. We had energy folks who were upset about the delays in the channel. We had pilots and it was just a really interesting and complicated time where we weren't aligned. And it took about 8 or 9 months to get alignment. We did that in 2019 and we got everybody aligned and we said, all right, the way to solve our challenges ultimately and get on the same page is to deepen and widen the channel and solve these issues with timing and daylight restrictions and long ships that create one-way traffic and that kind of thing.
And so even though that there was challenges and there were complications during that period, we aligned as community, we aligned with federal, state, local, and business partners to create an amazing project. Charlie didn't say this, but the project was done on time and on budget, actually slightly under budget. And when you think about the combination of a federal project this large and in the complexity of what we have to deal with and keeping the channel open every day to be able to make sure that that transit continued during a big construction project is pretty amazing. I don't know if it's ever been done in America. So it is an amazing outcome of an incredible team, the Corps of Engineers and all of the contractors and architects and all the people in this room who help with that. And I just want to make sure we put a point on that because it didn't start out easy. It was hard. And once we got alignment, it was hard, but because we were aligned, we got it done. And that is just an amazing opportunity. And these are the kinds of projects we should share because they create so much economic value for the community, more jobs, more commerce. And that's what we're all about, bottom line, when you get down to it. Okay, so we're going to do, Charlie, we're bringing up now the American Society of Civil Engineers to go ahead and present I believe it's going to be presented by Carol Haddock.
There we go.
And what we're going to do after this is we're going to get everybody that Charlie called out, and we're going to come up here and take a picture. Okay, so once we do this, I want everybody to come on up this direction, and we'll do a photo for this historic moment.
Okay. Unfortunately, Carol could not be here.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, that's all right. She got stuck at an airport.
Oh.
So she apologizes. I'm Jenny Peters. I am ASC Texas Executive Director, but I am here to welcome my members. Julia Clark is my Texas President-elect. So Carol is the global President-elect. She actually, you'll probably all know her name, Carol Haddock. So she apologizes profusely, but Julia and Patrick are here to help in this.
Thank you, Jenny. Good morning, everyone. As Jenny said, my name is Julia Clark, and I'm the President-elect of the ASC Texas. I work for Robert Kistner. I am an Associate Geotechnical Department Leader in our Houston office. On behalf of the Texas section of the American Society of Civil Engineers, it is a pleasure to recognize a project that represents the very best of our profession, the Houston Ship Channel Expansion Project 11, Segments 1 and 2, the recipient of the 2025 Texas Outstanding Civil Engineering. This project is vital, not only to the Houston region, but to the state of Texas and the nation as a whole. By widening and deepening critical portions of the Houston Ship Channel, this work improves safety, increases efficiency, and strengthens one of the most important economic engines in the United States. What makes this achievement especially meaningful is its balance of economic impact and environmental responsibility. Nearly all dredge material from this project beneficially reused to create bird islands, marshland, and oyster reefs, demonstrating how modern civil engineering can support both commerce and conservation. The plaque unveiled today stands as a public symbol of that commitment to excellence, innovation, and long-term stewardship. We are proud to recognize this project and the professionals who made it possible. I will close with this. This project shows how engineering can strengthen our economy, protect the environment, and serve the public all at the same time. Thank you very much.
Chairman Campo, commissioners, and distinguished guests, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. My name is Patrick Beecher. I'm a senior principal and operations manager with Terracon's Houston office. I'm honored to be here to help celebrate this award-winning project. As past president of the ASC Texas section and chair of the committee that selected this year's recipient, I can say with confidence that Project 11, Segments 1 and 2, exemplifies what the Outstanding Civil Engineering Achievement Award is intended to honor. Each year, peer reviewers evaluate the nominated projects from across Texas based on technical excellence, complexity, innovation, environmental responsibility, and benefit to the public. Among some strong competition, this project rose to the top because it successfully addresses all of these criteria at an extraordinary scale. Project 11 nomination exemplifies how this expansion enhances navigation safety, improves freight movement, and supports long-term economic growth while also incorporating sustainable practices that restore and protect natural habitat. The plaque we are unveiling today recognizes not just the finished project, but the collaboration, leadership, and engineering judgment required to deliver infrastructure of this importance. On behalf of ASCE Texas, congratulations to the Port Houston and the entire project team on this well-deserved honor. Thank you.
We're going to do two things. We're going to photo with this award with the engineering group and also our Project 11 team and the board. So let's go ahead and do that. And then we're going to do a larger group photo of everybody who was involved that Charlie named in his discussion. Okay, so let's do the first one. Everyone do it, Charlie?
You're the expert.
What do you organize? Perfect. Bring the award over. So this is the engineering groups and Project 11 team and board.
That is a solid engineer.
How are you? Let somebody organize this. Organize how you want to do this.
I don't think we need this. We just have
that. I'll tell that Lori and
the principals.
Lori and
Lori. We need to be right here. I'll hear them. Yeah, and just kind of self sort. If you're not tall, you know it.
You're good.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, just find a window so you're not driving behind someone.
Tell people.
Let's go. We need the not as tall people. The place to be recognized.
Are they going to sit or do we need to move them?
No other chair.
We're going to be good. Yeah, just can we come to the window there?
Throw them sideways.
Come in this window there. There you go.
Yeah, you can.
There you guys are good. All right.
I'll link
us. Is everybody right here? On this one, pretend like you're happy about this.
You're happy. Thank you.
Yeah.
It should be.
Excellent.
You have to be happy on time and on budget.
Okay, now you're everybody on Project 11, get up one last huge group one. And we'll be down real quick. Yeah, I did nothing with Project.
Get up.
Okay, sorry,
just checking out. I'm so happy to come over just a little, sir. There you go. That's good. Come on up, sir.
Officers.
Sorry, come over to this window here. You're good there, though. All right. Looking good. One last one. Who said that?
Thank you.
Everybody. trying to be subtle so there weren't a bunch of bees.
Pretty quiet.
Okay, next up. Okay, great. I understand that that Commissioner Garcia is online from Paris. Yeah, I mean, some nice French wine.
Seriously.
After the meeting.
Okay. Well, I don't care if you have to drink. Okay. Okay, next up is we're going to ask Rick Noriega to come up from Employers in Support of the Guard and Reserves. And the Annual Support Award is going to be presented. We also have the ESGR State Chairman Cecil Macklin here, the Texas ESR. ESGR region, Eastern region. Rick, good to see you.
Good to see you, Chairman.
Here.
Thank you very much for having us this morning. A year ago, we celebrated the Patriot Award that was awarded to Port of Houston for your leadership and support of your employees who are dual-hatted, serve both either in the Guard or Reserve and also for the Port of Houston. And today we're here to recognize once again the Port of Houston with a statement of support that has been signed between the leadership here and the Department of Defense, the employee support of the Guard and Reserves. My name is Rick Maliega, Major General retired, and I'm the Texas Chair for the employee support of the Guard and Reserves. For those of you that are unaware of this component of the Department of Defense, it's a primarily a volunteer component that acts as the go-between employers and those Guard and Reserves that are dual-hatted to help inform them of rights and responsibilities and their employment situations as they go on these deployments. The Port of Houston came to us through one of your own, Ruben Garcia, who's here with us today. Ruben, it's his doing. And also that of Rich Burns over here, and of course Charlie Jenkins and your leadership team. And what they represented is a culture that this board represents, which is one team. In these days and times, we're seeing more and more those people that are civilians and also professionals that are dual-hatted. In the current engagement that we're in, as an example, I was visiting with the colonel earlier. Half of those are Guard and Reservists that we've lost over the past couple of months. This will probably continue to go forward, and the Port of Houston does have a lot of employees that are dual-hatted, and what you do to help their families out in these times of deployments and so forth and their return is something that's nothing short of amazing. As Rick mentioned, I'm joined today with my team members, Cecil Macklin and Ruth Rambaran, that are here with me today. Cecil is one of our now executive committee members and also area chair. And then Ruth is our full-time person that keeps Cecil and I. And so with that, Chairman, I'd like to present to you this statement of support for the Guard and Reserves as signed by our national chairperson and the Secretary of Defense of the United States. So if I could and get you something new for your beautiful new building.
Fantastic.
Come on up. Watch. Rich? Go ahead. Let's do the whole team here. Commissioners, you want to get in this picture? Come on. Let's do it.
Same place? Well, here we.
Get closer. What? Oh, you got to have your hat.
Okay.
You do.
You're bold enough to wear it to the meeting. You're stuck.
Yeah. Sure.
Try it.
That's great.
I love it.
It's good.
Thank you.
Great job, bro.
Oh, wow.
Appreciate you.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's now go on to public comment. Our first speaker is Sarah Cinco from Public Citizens Health.
Hello, good morning, Chairman Campo and distinguished commissioners. I am representing both Public Citizens Texans Office and Coalition. We are thankful for the opportunity to publicly comment on matters relating to our park communities. As we proceed forward, we want to express our appreciation for the amended public comment policy, one that reinstates a 3-minute public comment period, depending on speaker quantity, in comparison to the current 1-minute public comment period if we sign up on a recurring manner. We here at the Healthy Park Communities Coalition see the value of having a continuous presence at Park Commission meetings. And look forward to using this medium as an avenue for continued communication about the issues that we see present in our communities. We want to give a special thank you to Ms. Maria Aguirre for her diligence about this matter and attending to our concerns as community members. We believe that it's important for community members to have a to communicate with you as a appointed community about matters that are impacting us and the things that we experience on the day. So we are glad that this new public comment policy reflects that sentiment and for your team's attentiveness to our concerns. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Carolyn Stone, Channelview Health and Improvement Coalition.
Good morning. I am Carolyn Stone. I am a Channelview resident and also here for the Channelview Health and Improvement Coalition. I live along the Old River, adjacent to the Sanderson River and the Houston Ship Channel, so greatly impacted by port activities. And I'm here to speak on the amended policy for public comment. The amended policy appears to work toward limiting and eliminating the public 3-minute time comments, while restricted, at least allow for an understandable 1 minute does not. But many instances, public comment at all is eliminated. The most egregious of the eliminations is the policy's waiver section, which states that if the commission has an invited guest speaker, public comments can be waived. It additionally states that public comments can be waived for the vague term of efficiency and effectiveness of the meeting. These two waivers are ripe for abuse and use to eliminate completely. The Port of Houston receives taxpayer monies and has substantial impact on the public and communities around. The port should be working toward opportunities to hear more from the community, not to eliminate their voice. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Teresa Blackwood.
My name is Teresa Blackwood, and I live on the Ship Channel. I look at ships all night long and all day long. What you do here has such an incredible impact on me directly and then my neighbors. And so to hear something and to, if you brought to my attention, there was something concerning a public comment and limitations or any kind of changes to it, I wanted to be aware of it. And Sarah, a public citizen, went through it with me this morning after I wrote this. And so I gave you a piece of paper that was distributed, and that piece of paper has outlines and has some very important things about the public being able to be represented, including two points that I really want to stress here. I did quite a bit of research and didn't find anything else that was like really being said about what these changes were going to be in a kind of timely manner. And then two, there was a approval that I happened to be sitting here and heard it happen, that it was approved before our comments were even heard. So there's kind of some gaps here in how we get represented and how our information. I'll work on my side to understand it better, but I do want to be far more active in what you guys do and how it happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Frederick, and if I mispronounce your last name, I can't read the writing.
So Frederick Sunderman, I'm with
Sunderman.
CLC.
I was
today.
Close. Thank you.
Here to comment on the strategy and strategic project sections of your today's agenda. PLC Engineering, it's full-service engineering and construction services in the southern United States, headquartered here in Houston. I'm owned corporately by Tony Council, who is also the president of. And now we're working on the second and third generation of service to the Houston area. This is a rare window of opportunity for us because we have a proposal or we're working as a sub-consultant to one of your prime proposals. So we wanted to take this opportunity to come and thank you for the Fort University program. We understand that there are many changes in the certificate systems that are going on in Texas, and we are one of the small business enterprises. And we really wanted to state the value of that program, especially to the various ethnic groups here in the Houston area. In a very large multi-project Houston, it's for a small company like ours to get lost in the system. The Port of Houston University provided a multi-week environment where we could meet people from the Port of Houston, also meet people from the business committee, and for a small company like us, an opportunity to meet some of the biggest contractors that work for you. We appreciate that opportunity, and we thank you for your support for the SCB program and the future veteran programs that will come about. And however the DV program works out in the future, we appreciate your support for that. And the last thing I have for you, congratulations on your beautiful new facility. They say in Houston that if you're not in line, you are wrong. And your program with the Port of University taught us how to get in line correctly. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Leave us the end of our. Let's move on to the agenda. We are going to then go with, so we'll start with executive. Parker, you're going to take us through that.
Everyone can hear me. I think during government committee, folks in the audience may not have been able to hear. So if you can't, please get my attention some way. So Mr. Chairman, commissioners, good morning. I feel like I'm about away from everyone. I've got two items for you this morning. The first is simply a formal acknowledgement of the gift from the American Society of Civil Engineers to the Project 11 team. Our special district local laws code required the commission to formally acknowledge any gift valued at more than $500. The second item obviously requires a bit more explanation, given this is our amended public comment policy, which was discussed pretty extensively this morning in the governance committee and will be presented here for a formal adoption. As the commission is aware, and our frequent public commenters are aware, we've seen a significant uptick number of people and groups wishing to address the commission in our public comment section. And that degree of involvement and interest and engagement is deeply gratifying to the staff. And I'm sure to the commissions as well. It's really important to our stakeholders. We understand what their needs and concerns and wants are so that we can make sure that we are executing our public mission as effectively as possible.
At the same time, the commission has a need to carry out its business effectively as possible. And it, as we started reviewing our existing public comment policy, it's been in place. We started to see that perhaps there were opportunities to do this better. So we looked around to see what other public bodies in the region are doing. County, City of Houston, Metro, HISD, to see what is fairly common about them. While our existing policy is not exactly an outlier, we did identify some opportunities to do things better. So staff put together a revised or an amended public comment policy which today. It will incorporate a couple of changes that are significant, and it will keep some things the same. I'd like to highlight each of those, if I may. The first big change is that anyone wishing to address the commission in public comment will be required to register to do so in advance. You'll no longer have the opportunity to walk in and sign up the morning of. Instead, anyone who wants to address will have to sign up no later than noon on the last business day before the meeting. So today's Monday. If the policy had been in place for this meeting, 12 o'clock last Friday would have been the cutoff. That is consistent with what a number of other bodies do, including City of Houston, Metro, and HISD. And I want to emphasize that anyone who signs up by the deadline will be placed on the public comment portion of the agenda. Having the advance registration allows us to do something helpful, hopefully, to our speakers, which is to reach out proactively and let them know how much time they will have to speak. Second thing that's changing, which is that the time allotted for speakers will depend entirely and solely on the number of speakers we have registered. 10 or fewer speakers, everyone gets 3 minutes. And that doesn't matter what you're speaking on. It doesn't matter how frequently you've addressed the commission. 3 minutes, period, full stop. More than 10 speakers, everyone will be limited to 1 minute. This is, again, an effort to balance our desire to hear from our stakeholders with the need to conduct the business of the commission as effectively as possible. The waiver, the things that are not changing is that any group that has more than one person who's attending the meeting, they have to select one person to speak. Again, they'll get 3 minutes unless there are more than 10 total speakers. Another thing that's not changing is the commission has the ability to waive the time requirements, the time limitations, if it's necessary to do so in the interest of efficiency. I don't know that we've done that very often, but it remains at the commissioner's discretion. This was discussed pretty extensively this morning in the governance committee. If this is approved, this new policy will take effect from the April commission and any court commission committee and task force meetings. We will, of course, continue to evaluate once we see how this goes. If we decide there are additional opportunities for improvement, then we can certainly take a look at that, starting with the governance committee. And now I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioners? Parker, would you elaborate on the group, the one person from a group?
Sure.
And that's in the current policy today, correct?
It is, yes.
We have not really enforced that policy.
No, I've only been here for a short time. My experience is that we have a group. They have to nominate one person to speak on their behalf.
Gotcha.
And that is not anything new. It's been there since 2022. I don't know what prior version of the policy they have provided.
But if an individual signs up, whether they're part of a group or not, they're just an individual, then they're not considered part of group?
Well, that's one of the finer points we haven't really drilled into. That may be an opportunity for improvement down the road. But as I said, the common practice has been we have a group, we may have several people attending, but they pick a representative to speak.
Okay. So we're not changing the policy. The policy has just been in place. The only are the 10-person, 3-minute change and the 1 minute after 10.
And then the advance registration.
And the advance registration. That's the only changes you're making to existing policy.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Is a motion? Second?
Second.
Okay. Well, any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you.
I do want to emphasize that clearly we want to hear from people in the community, and we have a robust communications group. That raise your hand over there, Maria. Yes. If you don't have her email or her phone number, you need to get it.
And I think I'm just going to say one more. The other important thing that Chairman and I were talking about is this is a living document. And so as Parker mentioned, this was revamped in 22. So we will continue to always try to do what, you know, based on feedback, and but that it is a living document. And so we're always trying to be better and do want to listen to the public comments. So, yeah.
For sure. Okay, great.
Okay, next up, we have Pam is up, I believe. External Affairs.
All right. Good morning, Chairman and Court Commissioners. My name is Cam Ram Spencer, Director of Government Relations. On your agenda today, we have two items, G1 and G2, for professional services contracts with Brown's Consulting, as well as Michael Toomey and Associates. Both of these are consultants we utilize for state governmental policy and their support up in Austin primarily. The Browns have been with us since 2003, and Michael Toomey and Associates for over the past decade. So continuing to utilize their services up in Austin, requesting your approval and do not exceed amounts that are listed on your agendas. As we continue to develop our efforts on the state level, we are always, you know, reviewing and seeing if we need to expand our team in any way on that front. But that will be, you know, a continual process as we always do through our state and federal priorities. Happy to answer any questions.
Motion. Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Thank you.
Commercial. Stephanie Sides.
No,
I'm sorry, Lori. That's right, Lori Brown. You're up again.
Good morning. At the risk of nauseating me, I want to thank again AFC for recognition and a credible acknowledgement in the work of the P11 team, including hundreds of others that you didn't see today. I've been a member of AFC since, at the risk of dating myself. So that award is very significant to my career. And the board. So for awareness, the Project 11 effort has also received national recognition, national sense of American Society of Civil Engineers, the Construction Management and the American Council of Engineering Companies. So today, Channel Infrastructure has an abbreviated agenda with four items for your and is the road rail crossing to Rocco Dock and rail over the industrial track. H2 is the renewal of expiring Port Authority pipeline licenses for either 30 or Kinder Morgan and KM Liquids in Targa. And then items H3 and H4 include two marine construction permits, ACAP for stormwater outfall update, taking the rest of my time to focus on item H3, which is an application from ExxonMobil for marine construction. Resting dolphins, mooring dolphins, barge dolphins, walkways, concrete blocks, and a dredged area to -48.5 feet adjacent to their facility in the Houston Ship Channel and outside of the future likely P12 template. The purpose of the proposed project will be to provide a dock facility to allow the loadout of petrochemical products to ships and barges accessible channel for export to other marine terminals, both domestically and abroad. The dredge basin will be approximately 13 acres with 420,000 cubic yards of dredge material, and the dock structure is approximately 18,000 square feet. If there are no questions, I respectfully ask for your approval of item H1.
So moved. Second. Any questions or comments? Fair to say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine. Now we have commercial. Stephanie's sides, Sambera.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. For those of you I have not had the pleasure of meeting in person yet, my name is Stephanie Sides-Sambera, and I am the Director of Real Estate under John Mosley's division. I have a few commercial-related updates that I wanted to share. as we're approaching the end of the first quarter, I wanted to highlight several impactful developments within the industrial activity reached a record high with 20 million square feet under 4 million square feet delivered, marking the most significant surge in development since late 2023. Our partners across the commercial real estate landscape remain encouraged as it reflects continued confidence and steady upward growth within the Houston area industrial market, supporting further expansion of products coming through the port and increased job creation. Houston closed 2025 as the second fastest growing major industrial market in the continental United States. I look forward to sharing additional updates in the coming months as we monitor how this development pipeline transitions into market absorption and speaking of broader economic impact, the Economic Development Department recently participated in a site selection meeting in response to an RFI for Project Vector. A potential manufacturer is exploring the development of a ship-to-shore crane manufacturing facility. The project team has shortlisted a site along the Houston Ship Channel, presenting a promising opportunity to support local industrial investment while further strengthening port infrastructure and broader supply chain ecosystems that supports our terminals. I will stop there, and if there's no questions, I will move on to this month's two agenda items. Real estate has two lease renewals for approval this month. The extension for an additional 5 years of an existing lease with Cooper Ports America and the ratification of a month-to-month lease on 12 months with TPC Group. And if there are no questions on those two agenda items, then I will ask for your
questions or comments. All in favor say aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephanie. Up next for finance is Christopher Edwards.
Morning, Chairman, Board of Commissioners. I'm Christopher Edwards. I'm the Deputy Chief Financial Officer for the Port of Houston. I'll try to be brief, but finance brings seven items before you today. But before presenting those, I'd like to share a brief summary of February's financial results. Through February, operating revenues totaled $110 million, up 1% to prior year, down 6% to plan. Cash generation remains consistent with historical trends between 40 and 45%. And despite some weather in February, container volumes are running steady against the 2026 plan. And early indicators are that March throughput will be stronger. Brian will expand on operating statistics on his report. Before I get into our items, I want to pause and recognize a genuine achievement. With the successful Workday launch in January, we intentionally held off detailed financial statements to allow the accounting team time for post-go-live validation. Our team closed the books in just 2 months into the next-gen go-live, a milestone that requires dedication, precision, resilience, and strong cross-functional leadership. Change management and our system implementers were critical and the support to what we did. So when I think about it, and I've gone through four of these, that's not as many as Charles, but many organizations launch new systems on time. Fewer do so successfully. Fewer still close their books on schedule in the process. Our collective teams, they did both. So my sincere thank you to Charles, Courtney, and David, and to our IT teams for their partnership throughout, and to the teams led by Curtis Duncan, controller, who made the 2026 financial story possible. This achievement belongs to you. Tanya Lewis, our next-gen finance pillar lead, the accounting and financial reporting team led by Patricia Borjas, the payroll and payables team led by Joe Valadez, and the revenues and collection teams led by Darlene Nguyen. And to all the individuals that make our team exceptional, well done, team. Turning our attention to finance items J1 through J7, pension and OPEB, these seven items fall into two distinct categories. Category one, items J1 through J4 call for approval of actions arising from an asset liability study by the port's investment advisor, Mariner. This investment allocation study is performed every 2 to 3 years, covering both pension and OPEB plans. These recommendations reflect the study's findings on asset risk, investment performance, and long-term liability positioning. Category two, more of a routine evaluation of our investment advisors, covers J5 through J7, and these recommended actions relate to what we evaluated in supporting the performance of our asset investment managers across both of these plans. All seven items were reviewed and approved by the Pension and Benefits Committee on March 3rd, 2026. So if there are no further questions or concerns, Finance recommends the Commission approve items J1 through J7.
Second. Any questions or comments? Herb, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, very great job with the team on Workday for sure. Infrastructure, Rich. See you.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Happy Women's History Month. Today we have four items totaling about $1.5 million, so small dollars this month. But before I get into that, I do want to make three quick but very – first of all, following up on the Project 11 comments, Charlie did a great job of about 95% of the credit to everybody. But it was a big team. Every team has an MVP. We have three MVPs. First of all, re-recognizing Lori Brownell, we wouldn't have done any of this without her. The second was Charlie was not the CEO at the time. He drove the negotiations for, you know, the entire project. The third MVP was the Port Commission, who put the $30 million up front, the first 30 of $1 billion, skin in the game to get this thing started. Benefits were talked about in terms of more efficiency, but one that wasn't really mentioned was the environmental benefits in the air. This project predicted 7% reduced emissions with greater efficiency as greater emissions. And in fact, the team negotiated the cleanest dredging technology that was ever used in a port project, including hybrid electric dredges and SMRs on the bigger ones from Great Lakes. So I want to re-recognize the team, everybody involved. Second, I do want to recognize Ruben Garcia and just say a little bit more about that. Ruben, if you don't mind standing up, Ruben dedicated 18 months of his life away from his family, and that was a benefit to the country. And our program did benefit the nation, but the program also benefited the port. Through training that he has received from the Army, he graduated and was promoted from a survey crewman to a construction inspector. They sent him over to Europe to learn about construction. And so that's a great tribute to both the, you know, both sides of the program. So thank you again to you and your mentors who are sitting right next to him, Craig Casper and Gene Norman. Third quick comment, and this is also a benefit from a Project 11 experience. That project advanced relationships with. Next Monday, we're having a contractor workshop here in this room to do the same thing on infrastructure. It's a contractor engagement workshop providing industry partners with an overview of Port Houston's upcoming capital infrastructure investments, which are growing with our growth. And notices have gone out, but for the sake of others in the room and listening in who haven't been given an invitation, I encourage you to contact us so that we can get full participation. With that, I'll go through the items real quick. Items 1, 2, and 4 relate to our assets at the Turning Basin. K1 is about protecting our aging assets in a corrosive and devising strategies to improve performance of our bulkheads under the dock, hence the term splash zone engineering. Item 3 is a change order to address a new scope to connect the new port coordination center, which is under construction now, with its future internet fiber communication. This involves connecting lines from the old PCC, but also connecting to the main IT hub. Thank you very much, Charles, for driving that effort and recognizing the need. Item four is requesting additional funds for our rehabilitation. 2021, deteriorating old assets, which are highly utilized and critically located, and this work is needed to get it back in service. And then back to item three, this is at Barber's Cut, which is for addressing some design to the Stevedore support building at Wards 5 and 6, which again is driven and recognizing the growth in user demand for leasable tenant spaces. I can address any questions or otherwise ask for your approval.
So move. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Okay, up next. Yeah, maintenance.
Nathan.
There he is. Nathan, good to see you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. We do have a few highlights that I'd like to address besides the four items. My name is Nathan Fabian. I'm the director. Starting with the maintenance highlight that's more general and broad, a few weeks ago we were reached out by Coney Cranes through some high-level delegation of the some employees from the part of Cartagena, Colombia, and it was supposed to be strictly about hybrid RTG technology asset availability, how we could help them on some future decisions. We really expanded it. We brought a lot more to the team, a lot more to the table. We invited operations, gave them basically an operational philosophy of the container terminals, touched on the hybrid asset reliability, but it really created a framework, best practices program, but some more future global engagements. As far as the facilities and equipment, you know, there's three pillars of maintenance, and I really like to highlight that team. So Mike Jeniak, there was two critical reliability process improvements that they did, rail and water. On the rail side, on the Turnin Basin, they did a complete overhaul of track 110. It's not out of our scope. It's just not something we do that often. About 400 cross ties, three rail switches, and a lot of labor. On the water meter, you know, a service that you really don't hear about that we do is providing safe and potable. Something that happens several times a day, every day of the week, and on the maintenance side created an issue for Curtis and the billing team because the documentation just isn't there. But Mike had really ramped it up. Documentation has improved, and there's a pilot program for a water automation system that should help the billing team. Terminal capacity, Barber's Cut, as you've known over the years, Barber's Cut's what we commonly know as the rail yard. We recently expanded efficiency and capacity in there. Now we're going to add another rail yard, another, help me out. Man, let me think of it. I'm sorry. We're changing it. It's just recent as of last week. Empty yard. The other thing we want to do is finalizing the wheeled reefer row. You know, that's something that we're always trying to optimize efficiency. Recently completed that. The vehicles, I'll talk about the vehicles because that's usually a big item in 2020. We have now received 58 vehicles, 11 departments, surplused everything we identified, and recovered about $20,000. Cranes, you know, this one's easy for me, but I want to make sure that the other departments really recognize that. We finally completed an RTG hybrid upgrade system. That was 8 units. Those units are back in fleet operationally. That was why the discussions we had with the other tenants. And we're loving that upgrade. Thanks to Rich, that was something that a pilot program for you and the grants maintenance just executed those strategies. Now that brings our fleet. A lot of people ask, how many hybrids do we have? 81 hybrids, 82 non-hybrids for a total of 110. Last batch of RTGs that we received on the 6th should be arriving later this week, March 26th. And the STS cranes, you know, everybody's keeping a close eye on that. About 15 days from now, the latest delivery date is April 7th. L1 through L4, I'll quickly run through those. But L1, that's Ambassador Services, 100% small business, $1.2 million. That's going to encompass servicing all the facilities at the two public container terminals, about 130,000 square feet. L2, Burgoon Company, doing business as Burgoon Company. Again, another 100% small business partner of ours. They've been providing miscellaneous supplies outside of, like, critical special parts. It's been a great contract over the years. L3 for Doggett. The sole source, it's another contract that's been routinely awarded. We have 17 hybrids that we ordered in 2019 that have John Deere forestry engines in it. They're not your typical lawn and heavy equipment. Doggett is the sole source provider for those parts. L4, Calmar USA. This is for the inspection services. Now, you know we have different manufacturers of STS and RTG cranes. Well, RTG is all STS. But the one fleet consistent we have is the Broma equipment. We have 248 pieces of equipment attachments that require OEM routine inspections of the equipment outside of the normal maintenance of what we do. We bring in a specialized engineer to come help us support. So if there's no other questions, I'd like to ask for your approval for L1.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Thanks, Nathan. Gwen, you're up.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Only one item on the agenda for you today, but I'd like to provide a brief performance update of our public terminals through the first 2 months of the year. Last year, I often used the word uncertain to describe the global supply chain. Today, unfortunately, I'm going to use the word volatile, Chairman, given the events that you described earlier this morning. But having said that, Houston continues to prove its portfolio. And Charlie, as you mentioned, total tonnage is up 5%, handling nearly 9 million tons. Our multipurpose facilities continue to perform well, up 18% year to date, despite a continued decline in steel tonnage, now down 27%. On the other hand, dry bulk tonnage continues to surge, now up nearly 47% year to date, driven by export grains and import bulk cement. Liquid bulk also demonstrated strong growth, now up 28%, driven by export refined oils. Container volumes for February were in line with last year, and we posted modest growth year-to-date at 2% in total TU. Bayport and Barber's Cut grew 4% in loaded TU, almost solely driven by exports, further narrowing our year-to-date trade balance to 56-44 imports to exports for the year. Confidence remains in the market on continued growth in the export trade. We had a big day at Bayport a couple Fridays ago, and I think we have a picture that displays what we had going on. So for the first time ever, working 5 vessels simultaneously with 17. I have a plaque to share with this. But I'm fortunate enough to be able to share this. Everyone's played a tremendous role in making something like this happen, and there's more to come. I'd like to bring your attention back to the agenda. Like I mentioned, one item for your consideration, M1, which includes 2 tariff revisions, enhancing language to further clarify requirements for hazardous cargo at our container terminals, and a reduction in free time for refrigerated containers. This aligns our rules with other major markets and supports the shippers' needs to expedite the handling of these commodity types. We want to be a transit facility, not a storage facility, and more throughput creates more economic activity and jobs. Happy to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I request your approval for M1.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
I have a quick one. Revenues were down, I think, 6% compared to plan, like Christopher said.
Yes.
And my understanding is that part of that is fog days. So what kind of, how was fog relative to this year versus last year?
So volumes were about online this February with last February. Seeing kind of a slow drag from February volumes into the first half of March, that we expect to, you know, kind of rebound and catch up on the financials, like Chris mentioned.
Yes. So the fog, are we going to blame fog on the 6% and we think we'll catch up?
Well, partially.
We can't blame Mother Nature for everything. Imports are off what we forecasted. We expect that trend to continue.
Okay.
But the market indications that we're getting on the export production side could offset some of that.
Okay.
I'd like to add two quick comments. You know, last year, February, to my knowledge, was our worst fog year in recorded history. Okay. This year was as bad.
Gotcha.
So hopefully that's not a trend that keeps going on, but also would like to recognize that Representative Babin leading legislation through D.C. called the Houston Fog Bill. It's out of both committees. It was sent to committees early in the year, and it was out of committee by March, the exact same language. It'll be part of a bill that hopefully will be approved by Congress in the coming months, and it's going to give the federal government the obligation, the requirement to we're the biggest port, the biggest impact, but it impacts every port in the United States.
Solve it through technology?
Solve it
not
through
technology. Banning fog.
Yeah. Solving it through technology. I would also hazard that at the beginning of the year, collections are challenging. I have a suspicion that some of the decline off of plan is due to collections versus activity, something we will quickly catch up on as the systems are integrating and moving through.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add one more comment. This is also a change in the diversity of the volumes of the cargo that's coming in. Our bulk is up, but it has lower margin. Our steel is down. That has a higher margin. So that also plays a little bit into the month-to-month. But I think on aggregate, we're going to do just fine for the year.
Great. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, at least you're right, people.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I'll start with a quick, brief update from the People Division. We've transitioned, as you all see, to the new Port Administration Building. We're in our third month, and we are continuing to make steady progress towards getting things settled, and hopefully you'll see that later this morning. We're also wrapping up our 2025 performance cycle. So for awareness, we transitioned our we're wrapping it up with the a strong year of growth, change, and weather-related challenges, but the team ultimately did a great job. So now I'll turn over to today's agenda item. This is a N1, a three-month extension to our existing cleaning services contract with Unicare Building Maintenance. They currently clean EOB, some of our maintenance shops, the PCC. It's for an extension for 3 months and not to exceed $70,000. We've already exercised this entire contract. This will ensure continuity of services while we procure a new cleaning services. If there's no further questions, I'd seek the commission's approval.
Second. So, questions, comments? All favor say aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, Security Emergency Operations, Amy Seymour. Hi, Amy.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Today I'm presenting O1 that supports reliable communications across Port Houston operations. The port currently maintains about 1,400 radios. Those are used daily between operations, maintenance, public safety, and our ILA partners. This item will authorize a purchase order for Motorola Solutions through the operative purchasing program. These funds will allow us to begin a phased replacement of aging radios, prioritizing high-use operational areas and ensuring reliable communication across the daily operations and emergency response. If there's no further questions, I respectfully ask for your approval.
Questions, comments? All fair to say aye. Strategy, Candace, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioner and Chairman. Highway corridors such as Highway 225, 146, 610 are critical to the success of our Houston freight network. Port Houston and the wider port region of businesses rely on Houston trucks and roadways as a major mode of transport to support local, state, and national import and export markets. Current funding arrangements for improvements of these highways are insufficient to align with forecasted demand in Houston. The planning is critically behind schedule. We are partnering closely with stakeholders to find funding sources that can support the supply chain priority. And as our advocacy, we need to lean on data to help share our story. Last month, you approved John Martin and Associates on the economic impact study update. Today, I come asking for you to approve funding towards a complementary study. This study will help quantify the impacts of the regional economy, state of Texas, and national supply chain if highway projects are not initiated. For Martin and Associates study quantifies the positive impact of the region's supply chain, this study will help determine what impacts are realized if critical highway planning and construction schedules do not happen. So today I present to you item P1. P1 is seeking the approval for a professional services contract with HNTB, Corporation for a Freight Mobility Impact Analysis, and the Mount Washington. Happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, could you just briefly review what that impact analysis is going to provide? What's the deliverable?
The deliverable is a report, a presentation, an executive summary by the team to outline the negative impacts of the region if Highway 225, 146, and 610 do not meet their current schedule. So, for example, if there's a year delay in the project, what does that mean to each of those entities, and what does that mean to the local economy? Year-over-year delays. If we started planning today, it would be 11 years before a truck could actually ride on that roadway, that new roadway, taking into consideration all the environmental right-of-way planning and just design engineering that has to go into these projects. So that's 11 years from today if we started today and the funding is already behind schedule. So year over year.
Hey, Kim, so let me do a little bit of elaboration. This is such a crucial point for all of us. So background, fastest growing port in the United States, 10 years in a row, twice as fast as number two. Roadways haven't changed, haven't grown. We've been using up roadway capacity. TxDOT has not been replacing it. We now are very, very closely partnering with TxDOT as a nearby link in the supply chain to make sure it has what we need. Our intent is to double Barbers Cut and Bayport within 10 years. We have the plan to execute the facility, which is our link. I believe the largest strategic risk we have into executing that opportunity is the roadway system and its lack of capacity. Today, Barbers Cut and Bayport have over 800,000 in Texas and $280 billion in annual economic value in Texas. We're talking about doubling it. And you would think, you know, in my perfect world, we would say this, everybody would understand it, and everybody would get it done. It doesn't work that way. TxDOT doesn't have enough money. There's a lot of challenges funding. This Wednesday, Candace, Carrick, and I, and a few the members will be at the Texas Transportation Committee meeting, having lunch with Commissioner Avils and Executive Director. We're pushing on everything, but I need tools to quantify, to explain what it means, because what we're doing now isn't working enough to cause change. So this is really to make it more granular, having experts, other people, not the port, but really experts that TxDOT appreciate, HNTB, they would choose, as I understand. So this is really about selling that messaging. It's so critical to all of us to achieve economic development and jobs. So that's my speech.
We're fearful jobs could leave this area if these projects are not completed within the planning schedule. And that's what we're trying to prove and get those statistics and those data points to be able to sell the story.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, last but not least, Mr. Thompson.
Well, Chairman, Commissioners, Section Q has four items for your consideration. I'll only highlight item number one, but we'll also share that item number four has expenditures which will add to the business equity spend. Item number one will utilize 2024 port security grant funding with a 25-cent matching reimbursed at 75 cents on the dollar once we expenditure. It's for IT and OT. That's information technology and operational technology, network segmentation. Technical term is called micro segmentation with enhanced access control enabled. Let me give you a practical example. Think of a network In the past, once someone got inside the building, inside the front door, they could go anywhere they want. This project, doors are added between departments with locks. Only approved people can enter into certain rooms. Some doors only unlock with additional accesses added. Extra identity verification, like multi-factor authentication, is required for sensitive areas. Simply put, RTGs and ship-to-shore cranes are OT, and traditional technology devices are IT. The initial purchase is for 24 months to match the port security grant. However, if and when there is a need for future years, a cost model has been developed, and we will obviously come back to Port Commission requesting approval. All items directly support the multiple work streams in the IT master plan for 2024 and 2028. I'm happy to take any questions, but respectfully request approval of items 1 through 4.
Questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we are now going to go to executive session. Correct.
Time for my speed reading. It is now 10:43 a.m. Commissioner of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas, will now convene to close the government. Conduct a consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding proposed amendments to the agreements for legal services with Best and Krieger LLP and Boyer Miller. The proposed agreement for legal support services with Skyrock, Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1950 U.S. Code 1701, certain Port Commission governance items, and deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberations regarding disposition of Galveston State property, economic development negotiations and incentives, employment evaluation of public employees, including questions regarding the engagement Houston and security related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene into the session after the closed meeting.
Okay. Let's go.
Good to see you.
See you too. Thank you.